But you should, people should know that they're being recorded and that that is used to train a model on how to make me a better police officer or make us better. Like, I would want to know that.
Welcome to the AI Decodes the System podcast. I'm your host, Amber Ivy, also known as AI. AI Decodes the System is a series of podcast interviews with industry experts and everyday people who will help explain topics related to policy, tech, data, law, and other current issues in plain language. The goal of this podcast is to help close the knowledge gap in a world that's moving fast and inundated with a lot of information. So sit back, grab your notebook, and enjoy the show.
Hey folks, it is AI News of the Week. I am joined by Marcy Noel and I'm Amber Ivy, aka AI, and we are your go-to girls for AI. I am sorry that you're hearing this on the podcast a few days late. Life happened, but we are here to make sure you get your AI News of the Week. So Marcy, what is happening this week? I know we've got some really great topics and I can't wait to dive in.
Yeah, we do have a lot of great updates. This week, we had a lot of optimization from a lot of different companies because it's not always about having entirely new software or apps or anything being created, but the fact that the companies are actually working towards just improving every single week or on a monthly schedule, that's amazing in itself. So number one, we have to give out a shout out to Stable Diffusion. They just had their 1 year anniversary on the 23rd. I wish we need some sound effects like happy birthday.
I can give you a drum. Anniversary.
Well, that's
good. I need to download a blowhorn or air horn. I got you next year.
But yeah, so I think that's amazing how far they've come in 1 year. So of course, let's start with them. So Stability AI, which is the company that, you know, of course, runs Stable Diffusion, and Carper AI, they released a new model called DRLX, which stands for Diffuser Reinforcement Library X. I know that's a long title, but basically it's just a library made to simplify the training of diffusion models with reinforcement learning powered by the diffusers and the accelerate. And let me just tell you what that means, because I know we're here to learn. Please. You guys know we just don't give you guys topic. We aim to educate you every week. So, for example, reinforcement learning, think about it like trial and error. It's basically a reward system when it's accurate, and then when it's wrong, it's not going to get the same reward, all right? And then the diffusers, it basically means it's a model for generating images, audio, and 3D, and then the accelerates are from the library of code from PyTorch on Hugging Face. So it's, think about it like a plugin, like, okay, I can use this tool and then accelerate it. That's why they're called accelerates, right? Okay. So it's like basically, you know, picking and choosing things that you can use to optimize the software. All right. So yeah, I know that's a mouthful, but okay. So just think about all of this every single time we're talking about all these new models. It's just optimizing every little part of things to help you improve and speed up your process. That's basically what it is. And then the libraries just are, it's just a big collection of people coming together, the community and I in AI and the big companies adding new updates so that we have access to more tools. All right.
I love and that. Then, that was a very easy way to understand. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you know I overcomplicate things. That's why you have two hosts. Amber will clarify.
One that goes in detail. You did a great job of clarifying. I didn't need to come behind you on that one. That one was good.
Thank you. I try to use things that are not so confusing. Yeah. I'm working on it, people. I'm working on it. All right. So next up, we have to give a shout out to Midjourney. They did create one of the updates that we've probably all been wanting, and that is in painting. And I'm using the term in painting because in the AI community, everybody says in painting, but they're basically calling it vary by region. And basically, it's when you first create your text to image, right? So you're creating your prompt, and then you have your image. Now, with Midjourney, you can click on vary by region, and now you can select certain sections of your image. You adjust your prompt, and then instead of creating a new image, it's just going to layer it on top of the image you created so that you can just optimize it to how you want it to look.
Yeah, I saw your video on Instagram on that one. So I think you had a horse on Midjourney. You impainted almost like a seal or something on top of his chest. Mm-hmm. So she had like a white horse that she created the Midjourney. She selected the region. She selected like the front of the chest of the horse, and then was able to put another image on the horse, which was like a shield or something. I can't remember what it was, but it was a different emblem that went across the breast of the horse, which is pretty cool because I know a lot of time when I do my Midjourney images, sometimes I love the image and then one part, it just throws me off and I want to fix it. Yeah. So being able to do the end painting is a really good update.
And I did a second one too, that really blew me away, to be honest. It's like, it was such a small change, but it made a huge difference. And this is like the real power of it. Like I made like a little alien creature and I just wanted to see if I could just change a very slight portion of the hair because that can be difficult, right? Mm-hmm. And it was amazing because not only did it change the color, it created the variation in shades of the color and it created depth. So even though it was like, it's just like a very simple selection, it actually created in between the hair. So it looked completely natural. So when you start optimizing, if you're a professional and you're trying to pay attention to those details, the fact that it did not just make a selection and then just do a complete color change, it's like, no, it actually went in between the hair follicles and the depth of the color. So I was like really blown away.
That's very good.
Now I do have to say one negative, and it's like when I had a third image and I wanted to change like the teeth, but it was such a small region and I did this like 10 times and it changed nothing. Right.
Okay.
So sometimes I'm wondering if the smaller the selection, it's going to have a harder time actually making those changes. And I would also recommend, like with the image with the horse, instead of making all your selections at once, like I did, you have to do it in parts because when I try to do like, I try to put armor on the horse, it did that, but the background did not actually change because I did not fully change the background prompt. So I would say if you're going to change the background, focus on that and then do each section at a time instead of thinking you have to do it all at once. But yeah, the smaller the selection, like with teeth, I think that may still be an issue. So hopefully that will change with future updates, you know. So
now you're making me think in general, because I'm thinking in general, I don't know how well Midjourney does teeth right now. Because I'm thinking of like all the images I've ever created. At this point, I've created probably over 1,000 images on Midjourney. I don't think many of them had, like, even just thinking about teeth, if is teeth a thing, it gets right. I'm going to try to play around with that and see. Because I haven't seen anything.
I like the teeth. The teeth are good. But like I was just trying to change like the size of the teeth because I wanted to make like a cute character with like bigger teeth. Because it wasn't like prominent enough. So I wanted to see, but it would not change it. Like any time that I changed up the prompt, it would just not change the teeth. So I'm thinking it might be the selection size. So
I got it.
So as always, we got to give you the pros and the cons of it. So, all right. Next up, we have to talk about OpenAI, and they partnered with Scale AI. And of course, to have access to their data engine to optimize the GPT models. So with that is connected to the fact that OpenAI just launched their turbo fine tuning with the GPT 3.5. And then the GPT-4 is actually going to be available in the fall. Now, so that's interesting how they're now partnering with different companies and really optimizing things. And I'm also excited to see how it's going to optimize with GPT-4 because in some instances with the turbo GPT, it's actually outperforming GPT-4. So when GPT-4 gets updated, then I hope it's going to be an improvement. But now I have to say a few of the cons because, you know, ChatGPT in some instances has been going down a bit. So
a lot.
When we're...
as a super user, it's going down a lot.
So when we're talking about optimization, it's like, okay, we have to talk about the balance. It's like, okay, is it going to now go back up to the way it was like that first month? Mm-hmm. Or is it just going back to like that balance level of just being good enough, you know, yeah. because it's like they're trying to optimize it. But we have to be realistic about it. So I don't know. I have to test it out more. I haven't played with it too much yet. Because I have to test, like you have to test it with math and different things like that. I'm not just typing in, hey, what are some good color? You know what I mean? I need to test it out with something credible to see if it's going to match up to that first month when it came out.
It still struggles with counting. It still struggles with math as recent as this week. I don't know. I think the update happened a couple days ago. So I haven't been really in it this weekend. So I'm also interested to see what it does. But I will say like the first month was amazing. And for me, it's been going downhill. 3.5 got really bad for me to the point where I would literally just wait. Cause, you know, I've used it too much. And 4, you're going to use the maximum amount of time. So you got to stop. So I would just stop and not use it because 3.5 was not worth it. So I'm interested to see. I'll play in 3.5 as well to see what happens. But yeah, it hasn't been where I needed it to be.
Yeah, because with fine tuning,
like we haven't seen it. If we hadn't seen it before and this was it, this is amazing. So for those listening, I'm not saying it's bad at all. I'm saying comparing it to itself, we've seen some fall off.
Right. Because with fine tuning, you're trying to customize things to, you know, your own perspective, your own process. Mm-hmm. And for me, one day I'll share some more of my chats. You know, my chats are probably not normal because I'm asking a lot of weird questions. But I've noticed for me, it's constantly, I have to constantly correct it and say, hey, focus on the data, but it has, the limiting factors that it keeps placing on me is to say, well, go back to the human behavior, how can I put this? It's constantly asking me to go back to the process of, well, what is the consequence of another human having a say-so in this process? And I'm like, that is irrelevant, right? Because in research, we have to focus not on necessarily on emotions to the data, but just the data itself. And that's actually one of the biggest limits when we're dealing with chatbots, because they are trying to implement ethics at such a high level because it's mostly for the general population, not researchers. Okay. And for us, we have a different purpose and use for it. And it's like, we don't care about your feelings. These are the numbers. You know, we have to only look at the data. So right now, sometimes there's a conflict of interest if we don't have full access to the to control the limiting factors. Right.
Right.
And I mean, it's like, this is why we, you know, we have with Llama 2, we have other companies where it's like, hey, research purposes has completely different requirements. Than for the general population, because those limits are not, it's not going to be beneficial in any way.
Let me break the limit part down real quick. What Marcy is saying is that, especially OpenAI, when it first came out, some people have access to the tool in a research phase where they can control the parameters on the back end of how far the model could go. All of us who are now in the general public, we have a general public version of that where their limitations are already determined. Marcy's trying to explain that she tries to push the limits and is not going to let you push the limits, but so far because it doesn't want to do anything that's going to get it in trouble or it gets get its company in trouble. But when the research model was out originally, a person could change the limit. So, for example, I'm a voice of an AI that uses GPT. 3+, I'll just say that because it was originally on 3. And originally the gentleman who created the tool could change the limits. He would literally change the temperature based on the audience. So if he was talking, the AI was talking to kids using my voice, he took it way down for kids. If it was talking to another population, he would allow it to do other things. So when she's talking about limits, she literally means the limits of the AI and what it can do in that model. We can't change it in its current state.
Yeah. And, you know, something interesting, too, that I don't think people realize that, especially, you know, like when you make a thread and you allow the chatbot to then analyze everything else that you said in the thread. Right. When you keep telling this chatbot, speak to me like I don't know anything. Talk to me like I'm not educated or so simple. You're literally training it to teach you like you're ignorant. So that's actually going to affect the responses that you get back over the long run, because the answer that you're looking for might actually never be given to you because you're teaching it that you don't have the capacity to perceive information.
And it's like sometimes, you're too cool, and I don't think most people are even thinking about using it that way.
But I it's not just ChatGPT, it's all AI software. When you train a model, when you're fine tuning it, when we're going back to the update, when you keep telling it, let me be very blunt. If you keep telling somebody or something that you're stupid, you cannot get upset when it treats you like you are, right? So then sometimes it's not the software that's actually going downhill. It is the prompts that you're giving it that's going to give you minimal results. So there is a fine line of saying, oh, is the software actually going down? It's like, well, what are you telling it to do? If you keep teaching it to train you, you know, at a lower level, you're never going to get the true answer that you need. So you also have to understand, hey, no, you have the capacity to do this. If you don't understand a word, ask it to define it for you. Try to use it to increase your intellect instead of willfully dumbing yourself down. It's like, please don't do that, people. It's like, use it to improve your skills. Use it to improve your intelligence. Like, that's the purpose of it.
And I think most people are using it to improve. I think only the people like who play with it, who know how to play with it, which I think is a very small percentage, would even know to take it that level. I think most people use it to literally just do simple stuff. What is this? How can I do this? Write this. And I don't think they're asking for a plain language. Like, that's a limited version of humans. I don't think you have to worry about this.
Man, you got to watch more, some more YouTube videos. A lot of these people out here who are saying, oh, let me teach you prompts and all. No, they're telling people to dumb themselves down, So it's like, people have to be aware of these individuals teaching you that method, because that method is not going to be productive for you. Because unfortunately, there are a lot of people that are doing this right now. And it's like, I don't think they understand the consequences of that. Yeah, it's a lot of, you know, these experts.
Yeah, the background helps, because I was lost. I was like, how do we jump here? So I was like, wait a minute. I think in your mind, you had an idea. And I was like, wait, what? Okay, so I get it now. You've seen people share about or prompting the AI, and in a way that when they're prompting it, they're forgetting they're training it in a way to learn that way, which then leads to folks getting probably less than desired results, because a lot of people are now training it to not live up to a standard or what have you.
Yeah. And this is why we have co-hosts, because she summarized everything in a way I think more people can understand. Thank you very much.
No problem. I got you.
Yeah. Well, you know, two people, two groups.
Yours landed with half, mine landed with 20, and then somewhere 30% in between. We don't know. They're somewhere else out there. They're figuring
eventually out. We'll get to 100%. All right. So then we have a lot more. So with the one of the biggest, probably the most important news that happened this week had a lot to do with NVIDIA, right? So NVIDIA, of course, one of the big announcements that we probably talk about every single week is their servers. And, you know, what's going to happen? Is it cloud hosting? Are more people, you know, are going to need these PCs and servers and computers? And NVIDIA was like, well, now we're going to create the AI ready servers for companies.
Nice.
Yeah, so they're trying to make sure that companies do have the software that they need. Well, this is specifically right now, I believe, for enterprises.
Great.
Not just fully for the general population, because they're already having shortages on so many products.
Yeah, I was about to say, that's not probably the route to go. With consumer products right now. Yeah, so it's like the shortage. I'd rather you focus on the enterprise and folks can tap into it that way.
Yeah. But then, you know, that can also connect to how, maybe a lot of these companies will then host the the cloud, offer the cloud services to the general population, and then they'll be the ones that have the servers that are AI ready on the back end, you know? So I think that will make it more accessible because the truth is, you know, they're expensive and many people can't afford that.
Very few people can afford that.
Yeah. So I think that's going to be the business model that I've been saying for a while. It's going to be specifically for AI generative models that you need to have very specific software for it. So that's an important factor. And then of course, you know, they've had a great week with their stock prices that went up. So their company is doing amazing. We can, you know, congratulate them on that. So there's NVIDIA is probably one of the best companies that has came out with AI right now. And I mean, they're really able to push so much software out. So, and they're definitely being rewarded for it right now. So that's an amazing thing. Yeah. I need to get more of that. all right. So next up, then we have with Meta, their AI software of the week is with Shepherd. And it is a language model that's specifically tuned to critique model responses and suggest refinements to identify diverse errors. Okay, so what does that mean? You know?
So exciting.
It actually is.
It is, but it's in the worst way. Like now they're at the point of models, models, and models. Let's go.
Yeah. All the pretty models. So basically, we're getting now to the point where, like I said, optimization. That's what this week is about. Because if you're not a person that codes, but hey, you know a tiny bit about APIs, you know a tiny bit about using these models. Now you have access to something to tell you, hey, this is wrong. This is what could be fixed. You know, so having these tools to help someone who's not like a top tier engineer, but hey, they know the basics. You know, you've taken a you know a course, you know, by Meta themselves, or you know, all the different companies that are offering free courses, and you can learn how to use these things. And it's like, hey, now you have something to tell you exactly what you need to fix. You know, you don't have to guess. So, you know, in this case, this model is extremely beneficial.
It's funny because I'm laughing only because it's going to get to a point where we literally just have models checking models, then models checking those models, and then models checking those models. So it's like, this is going to be really weird pretty soon. So yeah, it's interesting to see now they're already starting to check them against each other. The funny thing was, I know OpenAI didn't talk about it, but I know they had the AI classifier that they were running in the background to see if you could tell if something was AI, but they pulled it down off of its site. So even things like that are just very interesting to see what they're going to put against itself to see what happens in the future. So that's pretty cool stuff. Even though I'm laughing about it, I know it has to happen and we need it, but at the same time, I'm like, gee golly, Miss Molly, this is going to keep going to infinity and beyond.
Pretty much. I think eventually, I hope it gets to the point where maybe we have like the top 10, you know, where
that would be great. Companies I'm here have, for that.
You know, like companies say, hey, we've been testing 150 models, but no, this is the ones that we need. Yeah. And I think hopefully it gets to that point where they have like, you know, like Microsoft Office Suite. And they're like, no, these are the models that you need. Everything runs smoothly. We're not trying to just play around right now. We're making sure we are building upon something
giving
strong.
Giving you the best. Yep.
Yeah. But right now, it's like the wild, wild west. You know, it's a lot of things to do and practice and play with. All right. So next up, of course, we talked last week about Code Llama and it being tested. Now it's public. And that, of course, is from, you know, Meta as well. It's a large language model that was built on Llama 2, except this one is for coding. And now it is available to the public. And the great thing about it is that it is available for research as well as commercial use, which I think is fantastic. So that's a great thing. All right. So then now moving on to something a little fun. Let me switch it up so it's not just models back to back. So now there's a company called Aptronic. They recently posted about the AI humanoid robot named Apollo. He's pretty cute. I think he's what, like 5'8", 5'9", something like that, I think.
Yeah.
And basically,
160 pounds. He's almost my height and my weight, but I gained more weight. But yeah.
I was like, so they're kind of promoting it as a robot as a service business model, which I think is really interesting. This one specifically is geared more towards the industrial business rather than, you know, a helpful robot for the house. So, for example, mm-hmm. they talked about trailer unloading, case picking, mm-hmm. palletization, machine tending, and being able to deliver. And so I think that's really interesting because I was going to make a video about blue collar workers and how right now, you know, their jobs were the ones that were, I guess, surrounded in more of a safety bubble, right? Because right now the people who are at most risk are the people who, you know, highly educated, you know, college degrees. And it's like, sorry, we're the ones that are at the most risk, you know. AI is the one that can take that, you know, take over those jobs much easier than a construction worker with 20 years of experience. But it's like, oh, now we're getting robots. And, you know, last week we talked about it with China building the construction building in 24 hours. I mean, the apartment building in 24 hours. So it's like things are moving at a much rapid pace. So what do you think about that? You ready to have a huge robot?
I want one now. Like, I know, I think... I'm being honest. I think Tesla has been working on one as well, and I've been watching what they've been mm-hmm. doing. But this one, I'm very interested in it. I know from a job standpoint, yes, it sucks, right? But in reality, there are certain jobs that we do not want humans doing. Like, for example, mm-hmm. we are going to do space exploration. Shout out to Elon for all the stuff he's doing in SpaceX and getting everyone else back into space exploration, because real life, Americans, we were not in space. Like, we were relying on Russia and these other places to get back into space, but now we are back. So if we're truly going to look at exploring and like colonizing Mars and doing these things, anytime you colonize or have to do that, a lot of human lives are lost. I would much rather you send Apollo into Mars and into those spaces to get it ready for humans versus sending humans in very dangerous jobs. There are also very dangerous jobs in warehousing field or other areas. If we can remove jobs that could actually end a human's life, I am okay with putting a robot in that scenario who we can just change his hard drive and it still lives on in some way. I know they're calling it the iPhone a robot. So to me, that means that maybe one day it's going to be very reasonable, easy to program. Like, I think they're talking about the ease of it and getting into homes. And folks have been talking about having robots in a home for people who have disabilities, or like, imagine if you have a family member when it gets to the price of being cheaper right now, right? Like, of course, when something comes out, it's going to be probably five figures, if not more, of the price. Mm-hmm. But imagine when it gets cheaper where regular folks can have these things in their homes. Imagine you have an elderly person you live with who needs access, or we can have these in the medical field in a different way, helping to transport things and transport necessary pieces throughout the hospital that nurses shouldn't have to worry about. They can focus on patients. I literally look at robots as a way to do the things that we don't want to do so we can do the things we do want to do, which is the human connection pieces. Robots can literally move and do what we want them to do. I am fine with that. They can clean my house. They can wash my dishes. They can do my lawn. Shoot, they can even drive me if I'm feeling froggy. Like, I'm here for all of that so I can do the things that gets me to my highest self, which is not cleaning a house, which is not mowing my lawn, which is not driving myself around. So I get, and I'm really excited about this, but I am really interested in they were talking about collaboration with not NASA and what that means to put Apollo in space. So I'm really excited to see what Apollo can do so that one day, maybe before I die, I can go visit Mars on a vacation. So we'll see.
Man, that'd be wow, you know, but that is a good point though.
But I'm not going first. I remember Apollo needs to go first. Yeah. The first people will die on Mars. We already know it's going to be hard to figure that out. So why?
Yeah, that's a lot of things that they have to fix.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that's an interesting future that we're now building. So I wonder how that's going to turn out for the humans.
But yeah, but jobs are real. Like in general, AI can take, or robots can take the easiest job to some of the harder jobs, as long as there's some type of way it can learn it. So we just need to be realistic about that. And we just need to think about how we can continue to get better in what we do to continue to define what is uniquely human. And I think that that's going to be changed over the next 10 years, honestly. So we'll see, honestly. I will say, like, I was reading or listening to an audiobook about just how over the last, I think it was talking about the last 150 years, how the economy or our GDP has continually gone up. But even in that, 99% of companies within that time frame literally failed. So I'm like, if all those companies failed, but literally the 1% and other new companies kept going, I'm like, this is a reminder that crap is going to happen. It talked about how many recessions we've been in. It talked about how many times wars we've been in. Like, it really made it real for me that all this stuff is going to happen, but at the end of the day, innovation is still going to happen. We're still human. We're still going to figure things out. And at the same time, with all the chaos and all the things that we saw were bad, GDP kept still going up. So I just want to remind folks that even though these things are coming, like, yeah, be a pessimist in some way, like get the skills you need to make sure your job is relevant. But at the same time, there's so much opportunity in this. Thousands of jobs were created. Thousands of companies were created just this year for AI, if not more. Right. So what else can we do to continue to grow? And I want folks to always remember that balance the is going to ruin our lives with, or it could change our lives for the better. Yes, some lives will be ruined. Some lives are going to be amazing just because of that. Some of the things we talked about earlier, imagine having have a family member who is disabled and they can't get access, and they are able to have a robot who can help them do work, and they can literally live their life out in their home versus a nursing home. Imagine when you're older, you don't want to live in a nursing home. Most of us don't. But imagine if you can have a robot who gives you your medicines or do the things that you need to do so that you can live your life in a better way. So I want us to just weigh the cost and balances of all of it. But it's a fine time to be alive. Like if you were born in this, this time period, you're going to see a lot of stuff. And I'm excited about it.
Yeah, that's an amazing thing. I can just imagine, you know, even just taking, you know, a stroll on a nice day and you get sunshine and you hear the birds, you know, that also helps with your mental health and your well-being. Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes we take those small moments for granted, but, you know, having that help, that's a beautiful thing. And I think it actually makes people want to do more because they feel like they have their autonomy back, you know? Exactly. So for me, I think that's a beautiful thing as well. You know, like we joke, I always like to, you know, make sure I give the opposing side, you know, I do that on purpose. Yeah, I'm not a pessimist. I'm actually an optimist, but, I always feel like a responsibility to always, you know, point out the other side to people. But yeah, I completely agree with Amber, that we definitely have to always focus on the positive side and all the beautiful things that AI can actually do for people. So that's amazing. I'm so glad you said that.
Oh yeah. Cause at the same time, I'm also scared to lose my job from it. I get both sides. I don't want everyone to jump. Like it's a healthy balance of pessimism with optimism, and let's ride that and figure out that balance. Cause I mean, it can disrupt some stuff, but it also can lead to a different future for a lot of people who are struggling right now.
Yeah, definitely. All right. So next up, back to the interestingness of what can happen. So I think this is in your field. So, we want to talk about Judge Beryl Howell of the DC District Court. And she ruled that AI work that's created totally without any human is not eligible for copyright protection. So, of course, you're the person with the law. So what do you think about that?
Yes. I know the answer is so bad, but in general, I don't think we're at the point. It may change, right? The beauty about the law, like, let me remind folks, the beauty about the law is that it changes. Like, the founders, whether you like them or not, were smart enough to create a system that can change with changing thoughts, changing ideas, all that stuff. Today, we're not there, right? According to this judge. So the opinion is basically a human has to be involved if you have a copyright. Like, So the model that, I forgot the gentleman's name, I think it's Stephen Thaler or something like that. He has a model called D-A-B-U-S or Dabus. I don't know how you say it, so I just spelled it out for y'all. But he has a model that was creating these different artworks. So he wanted to use or copyright those artwork that were only created by the model. They were not created by a person. So the judge ruled that you cannot have a copyright on something that's not have any human involvement, and that human involvement is indeed necessary. I agree with that. If you're going to be creating works of art, copywriting it, I think today, I may not agree on this tomorrow, and I probably will not, but today, if there's not a human involved, then what's the point of a copyright? Like, I don't get it. I don't get why you want a copyright if a human didn't create it. Because who owns, you have to get into other details of like, who owns the copyright? Can an AI own a copyright? We have to remember the laws in this country are based on humans. Like, things don't have rights in this country yet, right? So if it isn't a human having ownership or getting the copyright, right now we're not at the point of giving things and ideas the ability to do that. That's why so many laws are literally based on human having something happen and their justice, their rights or whatever removed. So I think that it's going to be interesting to see that. The other piece is that I know a lot of people in a creative field are mixed about this, right? Some of them are excited because they're like, oh, and you're probably going to talk about this, Marcy. They're excited because they're like, oh, I can create new things. But it's literally saying that no human involvement. This is not where I'm creating something with AI, because I don't think we've gone there with this, but it's on no human involvement. And I think if there's no human involved, we can't be give who you give the copyright to then. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Does it go to the company? But normally it's a person doing it for the company and then they give up the rights to the company. So it's like, it's so many legal questions start to come in my head. If we give AI rights, like, how do you do that? So overall, I think it's a good idea for today. Tomorrow I may differ. So yeah, that's just my thoughts on it really quickly.
I think from my perspective, like from the graphic design perspective, it's like a twofold thing, because one, a lot of the companies, what they're doing, they're training their, you know, text to image models on, well, how can I put this nicely? Maybe on artwork that has not been approved for that purpose. Okay. Other companies, you can say what it they is. Have. Yeah. So it's like
legally obtained.
So other people, they allow you to use prompts to mimic other artists and the artwork look exactly the same.
Literally.
Other graphic design companies, they have their own stock photography. But even then, some of the artists may have not fully consented. Another issue is, at what point do you as a designer then say, well, what is the threshold when you say without human, you know, involvement? Does it mean that my prompt, as long as it doesn't have any identical parameters to another artist, is that okay? Is it okay if I then take that image and then add another layer on top? Does it, is it my creation now? Because that would, people would be like, oh, okay, well, here's my PSD. I changed the color slightly. That qualifies. Yeah. I wrote text on top of it. Now that qualifies. So it's like, what is the threshold as far as design that's going to say, oh, this is now my artwork? You know, so I mean, that can be done in a matter of a few seconds. That's not even.
And you should have just did that.
I mean, things could have been avoided.
Maybe, I mean, because you can, if you would just change something in it to make a human involvement, maybe we wouldn't have the conversation. But I don't think that's what he wanted to do. I think he literally wants to be at the forefront of the conversation. He plans to, appeal it. So I think he's trying to get the bigger issue, really, which is not having.
Then the third layer comes into play. And that is, if the artist who says, well, I am an original artist, I have an objection that maybe that artwork looks too similar to my own. And maybe I have previously copyrighted some of my artwork. And I have it proven in my own products that I'm selling. At that point, is that artist then do they have the right to go to a company, a text-to-image company, and say, hey, you guys are allowing these people to use my name within their prompts. You're allowing people to drag and drop my images in order to replicate my same artwork, which looks exactly the same. Now you're violating my rights as an artist because you're allowing these features. So the consequences of that is that maybe a lot of these companies are going to have to remove those features in order to prevent duplication of artwork. Because let's be real, I'm not going to say the company, but I mean, if you've been watching, you pretty much know my favorite AI program. Yeah. But you can easily drag and drop an image
literally
and duplicate it the exact same way in a new format. So there is a lot of things that can go wrong when we're dealing with copyright and when companies are allowing people, especially when they're saying that this artwork created on our website is available for commercial use. And I think that's going to be the big kicker between artists and not necessarily the people who are, because let's be real, they're going to sue somebody. They want the big bucks. They're not going to go necessarily after the person who's copying them. They're going to use them as the company, you know, a way to get to the big company. And they're going to say, you allowed this. And now, legally, I want access to those prompts for you to show me and prove that these people are not using that. And they're going to be able to prove it because that's what the software is made to do. So I think we're going to see a lot of those issues coming up soon.
I'm going to use this time to plug my book because it's important. AI means AI makes you check it out. But no, I've shown this a few times, but this picture, I was literally on an NPR interview with a little girl, and then the NPR, she got the book to do the conversation about it. But if you look at the last, like one of the last pages, I talk about how I used that video for Midjourney, not video, picture for Midjourney to prompt, but it looks just like another lady's prompt. So I literally messaged, she was able to, it's crazy because the NPR lady had interviewed her as well. She was out of Baltimore as well. And we actually went back and forth on email to talk about it. Cause I'm like, I also know like how they make these images. So I'm like, I didn't want to use images from Midjourney to create create all my illustrations. I use it for inspiration, but the darn character looks the darn same as her character. So imagine if hers is how it was trained or how it learned or what image it used to build my image off of. And I'm like, you got to think about that because these people do have copyrights on their image, even if it's just a whatever one where they're selling things and it's not one that's registered. They do have copyrights on these images. And I don't think it's fair, even unless like some stuff is being used where it is right, where it says you can use these for commercial things or you can use my images. Like there are so many people that allow you to use their images. Use those. There's a lot of people who don't want their images used. Don't use them. So if AI is going to do that, the legal field has to go way ahead of where it is and really get more clear on the space. It's not there yet. So I'm okay with this judge saying today, we're not there yet. Let's not do it. Like I said, in the future, I'm probably more closer to let's actually figure out how we do that. And that gets into like when we think about autonomous cars and AI robots. If an AI robot does something wrong, who do you sue? Like you think about all those things. But I think we're just not there yet. And I'm going to be interested in watching this to see how far it goes up.
Correct. Because there is a lot. All right. So next up we have, let me be careful how I say this one. I think it's interesting. Because now we're talking about human behavior a bit. And I saw an article where they said that the LAPD is not going to start using AI to analyze tone and behavior to optimize the force. Let's be very careful. I'm going to be very careful.
Say it again. Can you read it directly? Say it one more time. I just want to make sure I understand because I don't want to make comments unless I understand.
That the LAPD, all right, is
Los they're going to use AI. For those who don't do acronyms.
They're going to use AI to analyze the tone and behavior, I believe, of their officers in order to optimize the force. So basically their cameras, their camera footage, in order to analyze, you know, how they speak to people. So I was like, wow.
That's a lot. Wow. Yeah, that's a lot.
So in LA, I mean, it's probably one of the most famous in the US.
They are.
Let me put this in a politically correct way, even though I say no public relations, but I'll be neutral right now.
Thank you.
But so I think it's interesting. Okay.
But what would they be doing? I'm lost on what are they doing it for? Like to train? So are they like using it to see, to say, hey, your behavior there was probably not appropriate, or hey, you went too lax on a person, then to train the police officer? I'm trying to figure out how you would use that.
Correct. Yeah. So okay. That's what I kind of saw. But I wonder if they're also going to do that to the general population.
Yeah, that's because the part.
Typically when you have one, you typically have the other. And you have both voices, this is where I wonder when we're talking about free speech, when we talk about behavior, colloquialism, when we speak about AKA slang. Let me stop using words that people would be like, what the heck are you talking about? So basically slang, because, you know, by region, people speak differently. They have different accents, you know, culturally, you know, just because I may speak in one tone, one person can take it aggressively. Another person will think it's funny. But then how will AI start to decipher cultural behavior and the way that a person speaks, not just with analyzing the vocabulary and tone, but, you know, by different parameters, because we're so different. You know, America is a melting pot. I think that is a very interesting and difficult and complex issue to take on. To really start to analyze human beings and how they speak. Now, I think if we focus on the overt behaviors, I think that can probably fix a lot of issues, right? But I think there still has to be some human oversight in this to make sure that, hey, something could be flagged and then a human comes in and analyzes that. And I think that's how you train a model accurately.
Oh, yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
But there has to also be a board to create a baseline, because you can't just say this one person comes in. It's like, no, we have to have a review to say, no, this behavior isn't okay. This behavior isn't okay. And then they should go to also a third party representative that represents the community of the people that they're overseeing, so that the cultural nuances are not changed to adapt another population. And I think that's how you bring ethics, how you bring responsibility, and how you bring duty to protect a certain community in using AI. So I think there has to be a multi-layered effort of approval, so people can say, this is okay, this isn't okay. If you're actually going to bring an AI software in. So,
Because right now, even with the, I remember when the, so when body cams first became very popular, just working with some governments, that was a conversation of what was happening. It was like, one was not even the AI conversation, but it was like, what are we going to do with all these like hours of footage? Like, do we just literally download the stuff and keep it on a cloud or server? Or are we using this stuff in another way? And then the other things people need to think about, especially when they first came out, we didn't have the laws to catch up. So in the public sector, you can request something from the government, like the government, because it's public, the government has, you can, it's FOIA-able, or you can use the Freedom of Information Act or whatever to get information about certain things. So when it was first coming out, people were talking about that. Like, should you allow this stuff to be able to be pulled as a request and information? Like right now, something happens, government has to give up its emails, its text messages, any data is created, it's, the public can get access to it. Literally their website where people just pull and get all this information. So at first we were nervous about if folks were like abusive or something like that, trying to get the data and information to use in a court case against their spouse or something like that to take the child. Like it was so many things we had to worry about with just literally just putting the cameras on the bodies. Now this is an extra layer of, now we're training models on people who have not said they want their the model trained on them, right? The police may be able to say it because they're government employees and they have to do it because of their job. But then I interacting with the police, I don't even know that that's what's happening. Even if it's something simple, I don't even know if that's what's happening. If I'm walking by them, it's hearing me talking, or if I'm engaged in a scenario. I think we got to be very careful when the public are involved and we're training AI on public who are just living their life or who are dealing with the worst time in their life and they're having to call the police. That is very, we have to be very careful about that. So that makes me a little bit nervous on how we handle that responsibly.
That is a great point. I didn't think about, like, for example, well, I know this article is related to like the body cams, but it makes me wonder, like, would then they give access to, like, you know, right now, all the cameras that we have, if they started to use like a multimodal system in a sense of now recording and the things that you're saying, because oftentimes, like, people could be having a bad day or, you know, you're thinking, oh, this is a private conversation and you have some supersonic system that's just listening to you. It's starting to sound like a movie.
It's like, even in that, it's consent, right? Like, we have Miranda rights for a reason, which are the rights where they say you have the right to attorney, a right to remain silent. Anything you say in the court will be used against you. Like, we're not giving people any consent or giving them any verbal acknowledgement that I'm recording you. Some people are okay with that. But people should know that they're being recorded and that that is used to train a model on how to make me a better police officer or make us better. Like, I would want to know that. And your different terms and conditions that someone can sign in that, because the police officer is publicly out there and they're just doing their job. So I'm knock at the police in that writer or anything. I'm just saying the folks, when we do these things, particularly government, you got to think about all the things that are involved when your whole job is to serve the public. And this isn't a private sector company. This is public sector companies that are doing this and that are responsible to taxpayer dollars. And we got to make sure we're being very aware of that.
Wow, that's amazing. You brought up a point that I didn't even think about. So yeah, that's a lot to think about. Well, let's jump into something a little lighter. So, of course, one of my favorite Texas speech apps is called 11 Labs. It kind of connects to the previous one anyway. But now they actually launched their multilingual tool version 2. And they added an improved unique voice characteristics model in 28 languages. So it's going to be focused more on, you know, diversifying the different language models so that it can actually sound more like the person that they're actually mimicking. Wow. Yeah, that's amazing, especially because, you know, especially if you want to connect to like a very specific audience. I mean, that can be used in wrong ways too. But I think it's amazing as well how far Texas speech is coming and how, I mean, it's getting surreal, you know, because now I can make my 3D avatar. It looks just like me.
Oh, yeah.
I can speak just like for a couple hours and it'll mimic my voice exactly. Like, even sometimes, like, I stutter. Like, I can train it to stutter too.
Oh, mine stutters.
Yeah.
So the one channel my voice stutters terribly.
So it's like, I need mine. So it's like, it can actually mimic like my pauses but the fact that it could actually once in a while, it's like, oh, maybe you stutter every 5 minutes. And it's like, it's mimicking that. I'm like, wait a minute, hold up. I want it to sound a little bit better. Cool. That's the whole point. But I can find it.
You have to fake that one.
I was like, come on, man. That's the whole point. Or sometimes, like, you know, cause I speak different languages, like sometimes, like if I stutter is not necessarily because I'm actually stuttering. It's because in my brain, I'm seeing things sometimes in a different language. And it's like, I'm trying to catch up to say it in English or speak in a different language. So sometimes there's things like that. You know what's funny? Like, okay.
What?
Like, okay, so this is for your podcast too, but for the people that are watching us, like, I have a chubby face, you know? And it's like, I wanted to make my avatar and it turned out cute. So I was like, oh yeah, I made my little avatar, finally got it to have like a chubby face, you know?
Oh, but nice.
I was like, I need for everything else to match. I'm like, what is going on? So I was like, I tried to make my avatar more proportionate. But I realized too that a lot of AI, like sometimes it's more difficult to, like how, like with 11 Labs to bring out those specific traits. Like if you want it a specific weight or with a specific speech pattern or, so it was, it can be tricky now because I don't want to call it a bias against imperfections because, but it is sometimes.
It's like early days of TikTok.
It's like, come on. It's like, I was so happy. Next time I'll have to show you guys my little avatar. Cause I was working so hard to like add like chubbiness on the face, like underneath my cheekbones.
Oh, yeah. The cheeks.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was trying to make sure. Like this. Yeah, exactly. So I was like, and it differs on the angle. Like even with Amber already knows, I have an issue sometimes with like the angle of my camera because like if I sit the wrong way, it's like my, it'll like make my face look weird. But so I'm trying to create really a real variation of who I am as an AI avatar. To be honest, sometimes it's a little bit difficult to add your own traits in, to add your own, you know, uniqueness that you're giving it to when it's your voice or, you know, extra chubbiness on your face, you know, anything like that. But I am very happy that. Go ahead.
No, I was going to just say real quick to what you were just saying. There are a few companies that because of what you just said, for example, folks who can see me, I have curlier hair texture. So they started like building pieces for avatars to have different texture for hair, different looks. Cause a lot of times the first version is very much so like a version of perfection that none of us can achieve. So it misses like the nuance of the human who's trying to build something that looks like it. But I do know folks have started building libraries that have all these other types of add-ons, like you're saying, but I've never thought about it even from like you said, like my cheeks being full. Or whatever, like the way I want it to look like me. I don't want it to look like a version of me that's not me. So that's actually really interesting. It's going to be interesting to see, again, other jobs that can come out because avatars are going to be even bigger than they are now, especially with like, I can't wait to have an avatar of myself in a VR world and going into different versions of metaverses or what have you. But people are going to want to have the body type that looks like them, the face that looks like them, the different features, the hair, the earlobes, or whatever, the nose, like people want to have that. So that's even an industry that I've seen people already popping up and contributing into.
Yeah. Like even like the texture of like your skin and like color variation and things like that. But I'll post the picture of my avatar on my community. I posted it on Instagram. But even then, it was difficult. Like, I got my face to be chubby. I was so happy because I was like, this has to look like me. I'm like, okay. But then the body was, like, super skinny. So I cropped it. I was like, wait a minute. Hold up. We need to. I was like, I don't weigh a buck 20. Like, what's going on here? You can't have, like, a super chubby face and then you have, like, super small arms. Like, that doesn't match. It doesn't look realistic, you know?
They do like, have the bobblehead like avatar.
That's how I was looking. I was like, I need everything to be proportionate, you know what I mean? Some tools are really helpful as far as like trying to add those specific details, but then it's like they'll completely ignore everything else and it'll be like, oh, you want this here, but then we're gonna perfect everything else. So it takes a lot of work to try to like really simulate yourself. But I think maybe next week we can, you know, maybe we can show a few different, the process of it. Like, even like I'll give one of the best ones is Unreal Engine. With that,
Unreal that kind is great. Of tool, they're very good.
I can make me to look like me. Okay.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Most people they don't have that software. They don't have the ability to use that or the skill set. Sometimes it's more advanced. It's not like a point and click tool. You know, you do have to know what you're doing.
When they did the Keanu Reeves one and I could not tell what was him or what was the darn avatar, that's when I knew I was done. Like Unreal is amazing. They do a really good job of, and I've known people who also like help to create more better textures or more realistic components to help that build out. And a lot of game companies use their engine. But when I saw the Keanu Reeves video when they did The Matrix some time ago, I was like, I don't know which one is him. I don't know which one is the avatar. I still don't know to this day. Like, I can pretend like I know. I literally, but for me assuming in the comments, like what it was and like reading up on it, I would not know which one was him and which one was his avatar. It was that darn good.
I would love for Unreal Engine to make like a point and click tool to help people actually have access to a way to refine their AI text to images at a much easier way. Because they're known for, I mean, the skin textures, like that's why all of those references were actually coming from Unreal Engine. But like I said, yeah, I wanted it with the text to image tools. I think that would be a game changer. So I would love to see that. Yeah. All right. So let's move on to something with IBM with the Watson X code assistant for Z. So and another tool that's basically focused on optimization with code. But basically it's for app. They don't call it optimization. Let me correct myself. Modernization. okay, simile. And IT automation. So like I said, a lot of the companies were just trying to optimize this week and just trying to improve what they've already built, you know, to give better tools for everyone. So IBM Watson is actually one of the most important tools that we use as professionals. So it's actually one of my favorites. So I always like to mention them. So definitely check them out. To me, you know, they're definitely the OGs in this game. So
yeah, they definitely are. They've been doing this forever.
Yeah. And next up we have with Microsoft Fabric AI tool, and it's an analytics solution for data movement, data engineering, and integration for business intelligence. Basically, it's probably a very, how can I put this? It's far more advanced in understanding data analytics, especially when now you're trying to analyze things that most people, they don't ever consider. You know something that just popped in my head?
Go for it. 'Cause
I just started realizing things that don't usually get spoken about. Most people don't even know about weather marketing and those AI tools.
Okay, talk about it.
It's actually one of my favorites. Now you guys are getting into the marketing secrets of what we do on the back end. All right. So for example, like with the Weather Channel, you know, we can analyze, let's say if it's raining, the probability of you going to shop at a certain place. And then based on that probability, you'll get a diversification of ads that are sent to you based on the weather. And, when we're trying to look at analytics or tools like, for example, Microsoft Fabric, you're going to start seeing the deeper level. Like most people thinking, oh, Google Analytics. And it's like, okay, tell me about your temperature levels. Because I know I'm going to send you to go buy the snow cone real quick, you know,
because it's 99 degrees.
You're going to get, now you're going to start getting new different type of ads. And it goes much deeper. I'll probably have to do an entire video on weather marketing. I think
that is so cool, though. It's going to be very interesting to see. Especially, like, I remember when 5G was first coming out, I was talking to a few marketing people, and they were excited about it for its, like, ability to target in very specific areas. To your point of, like, if it is, if I'm in Baltimore City, it's 99 degrees today, and there's a snow cone company around the corner, like, being able to push my ads to that area to where they are, to exactly say, hey, today's the day you get a snow cone or whatever it is. Like, it's going to be interesting to see how they use this, all this technology together. The folks who get it and know it well, you know it well, who get it and know it well can literally take marketing to the next level versus like your old school marketing. So it's going to be really interesting to see how companies use all these tools to even get us to change our buying behaviors even more.
Yeah, and it's called geo-targeting and then geo-tagging. So you guys can look that up. And the reason I brought this up is because on between August 29th and October 24th, Microsoft is actually, they're doing a live tutorial for analytics. So it's 9 episodes. I forgot the exact day, but whatever day is, the 29th, they have the entire schedule. So you guys can go and get trained for the next few months as they're teaching people and showing them how these solutions are actually going to help optimize their businesses. So if you're interested in marketing, you're interested in AI, you're interested in data and optimizing your business, I would definitely recommend you check that out. You know, every week we try to bring you some sort of educational tool or program that you can actually use so you can actually get educated, right? Mm-hmm. So let's move on to another probably, you know, the heart-touching AI moment of the week. You know, we always like to bring something important. So recently, there was a stroke victim, and I actually don't have her name in front of me. I can't
Ann
believe
Johnson.
That's what I was looking for.
I got you.
Okay,
Ann
thank
Johnson.
You. Mm-hmm. She had an AI implant, and she was able to speak after, like, what, 2 decades?
Yeah, 18
like,
years.
When I saw that, I'm not going to lie, I feel like crying now. I'm very sensitive. Mm-hmm. But that just, I don't want to cry. Let me.
You want me Amber, to talk?
Take it for a sec, because that really hit home for me.
It's wild. If you when you do edits, if you put up a picture, it'd be great for folks to see her. But so Ann Johnson was paralyzed she's paralyzed and mute. So those two things are like important to note as we talk about her. So she had a stroke, a brainstem stroke about 18 years ago, which paralyzed her, made her mute. So what they did is they're using a digital avatar that we were talking about avatars earlier that are powered by AI. They're using that combined with a plant or electrodes in her head and a computer system that allows her brain signals to go from her brain to speech. So she's able to, they can look at her brain activity and translate that into words. And then she can speak through the AI avatar. The beauty is they can use her voice because they took a recording of her from her wedding day and trained the AI model, or excuse me, the AI avatar on her voice. So I told y'all my voice is used out there as well for AI, but the AI speaks in her voice. So I think originally when they started it with like a number of phrases or what have you, but then I guess over time the electrodes were able to understand her brain activity, and I think it was able to even create more words, if I'm not mistaken. Like, it's wild.
That's
but
amazing.
Literally was trained on a little bit over 1,000 words it was trained on, and I think it was able to figure out from there other things in her brain so she can talk even more so.
That's amazing. Like, that just made me so happy, because I think about how many people can have the access to communicate again and just live a full life, that they're not going to feel limited in any way. They can say no. Like we look at Hawkins, right? And it's like sometimes they would have to give him the questions ahead of time so that he could be prepared, and it would be, there to speed up the process so there was no delay. But now an individual, you know, can maybe have a way, you know, with an implant to speak at the same pace. Yeah. So it's like, I think that will be so amazing, because then they're not limited to one person to converse with them. They can actually, can you imagine if people were there with like Hawkins, and they were, now he could communicate with so many people. People could actually go and ask him questions. How much
especially
more information
very brilliant. Yeah.
would have been out there, you know? So, something like this, I just realized, I mean, it makes me think of how many brilliant people they're going to get, you know, their autonomy back. They're going to get, you know, to say, hey, no, I still have my knowledge. I still have my wisdom. I can share it, you know, and they're going to, I feel like crying. Like, I don't know why I'm so sensitive today, but just like,
this,
seriously.
These are the moments. Yeah. These are the moments
and
where I'm like,
happy.
Totally get it. I'm with you, because these literally are the moments where I'm like, this is why I want technology to advance, because humans, things happen, right? We have people who are currently mute. We have kids who are like, who are nonverbal, who've taken a long time to speak or who have, like we've seen kids who are nonverbal, then all of a sudden at the age of 8, they start talking. So it doesn't mean that you can't have the ability, but with technology, we have the ability to open up so many things. So that's why I'm excited for stories like this, because a lot of times folks are like, well, it's going to do all these things. But I'm like, but it could also change so many lives and like take us to another level. When a person like Ann Johnson, 100 years ago, they probably would have put her in a certain facility. She wouldn't have been able to interact with anyone anymore. Now she literally can go with her avatar, or even if it's just a, even if it's without the avatar, she's able to have her voice being able to say what she needs to say. So no one can take advantage of her because she had a illness that happened to her. It can happen to any of us. Strokes are very common in the US in particular. So imagine losing it all, but then being able to have technology help you get some semblance of that back. And even the video of her just smiling and so happy, like, it just reminds me that, yes, technology, there's a little bit of fear with it, but there's so many more good things we can do with these technologies. Like, so many folks have been able to, even beyond AI, have been able to use technology in a way that has allowed them to stay and keep some level of freedom. And I think that's what it's all about, is humans being able to live the human experience in any way possible. And if technology helps us do it, I'm here for it.
You know what else just crossed my mind, too? I wonder, because I saw another, like, AI update where they started trying to see like people's dreams and their cognitive function. And I wonder if people eventually who are in a coma, if they have an implant.
Can you imagine? And then the person's like, I can hear you all. Do not take me off this oxygen, please. No, but people have said that who've come out. They're like, I've heard y'all talking. Like, I could hear you, but I couldn't respond. And that girl, I'm sorry, you took it to another level. That is so...
Yeah, and it's like... Yeah, and then, or even like with Elon, I know he said like with the Neuralink, he believes that individuals who, for example, never could see will have the capacity to see, or they can bring people out of comas. So, and even for protection against women. When they're in those kind of situations. But it's there are so like that brings back power to people, their humanity, because sometimes so many people, I don't want to go too deep. Oh man, I feel like I want to cry. I'm not ever crying on the internet, but because I'm just thinking about so many,
it's so much potential.
I can't. Let me change. I'm about to change the subject.
I'll wrap it up with this, in that like there's so many use cases for this. Like the coma thing I think is huge, because but what we just talked about, kids who are nonverbal, like there's so many things where if we could figure out and map brain signals. I was watching a viral video that went viral, and a guy he created one that mapped his brain signals, and that someone would ask him a question, he would answer it in his head, and then the AI would type it out. So he created his own version of that and was able to get the answers and say the answers without ever speaking the answers. So I think there's so many things here we can do. It's not like a weird thing to me. It's like there's a need for this. And yeah, it could go in a weird space, but I don't even want to go there. But there's a need for folks who literally want to gain back some semblance of life. And if we can help folks to be able to live in a society where you have to be able to have some way to communicate with people, I'm here for it and I support it. So I'm happy that Anne got her avatar, and I'm excited to see where this technology goes.
Absolutely. And the next thing, you know, let's go to something a little bit lighter. One of my favorite things, of course, I love Adobe, and the new Adobe Express tool is amazing. Mm-hmm. Like I'm starting to use it so much more now. Like before,
I need to use it. I need to go back to Adobe. I've gotten lazy.
I never even used like Adobe Express till this year, to be honest. And I've been using Adobe for like 20 years.
Yeah.
This is the first year that I was like, "Oh, Express, let me check it out." And I was like, I can do a lot of things. It's definitely worth it. Makes things, especially like for social media content, it's so much faster because they have so many templates and videos. It's so much easier. So, but the great thing is now,
general public, real quick, Marcy has talked about, it's like Canva on steroids. So for folks who are using Canva, you can now, like, if you want to switch to an Adobe Express, totally fine. I know folks get intimidated when thinking about Adobe Photoshop or Illustrator or InDesign and all these other tools, but they made it so much easier. So if you have the suite already, like, use it. There's some pretty cool tech in there, and I'm going to start using it myself.
Yeah. And one of the great things that, one of the biggest reasons, especially if you have like the full plan, like the premium plan, you have access to the stock photography. So So I know typically they're like, oh, you have to pay extra for that.
$1 million.
It's like, no, you have access to the videos. You have access to the, maybe not all of them, but majority. I mean, there's literally millions. And I was like, if you want to make like short form video and like you want to make quotes and stuff, it's like, you need to use Adobe Express. But the reason that I brought it up is because one of their new features is that you can now edit your PDFs. And that's amazing. Yeah.
Explain more. What do you mean?
Like, okay, let's say for school, right? Mm-hmm. And you're trying to like, hey, I'm trying to make this graph, or I'm trying to make, you know, all of these other, you know, add-ons and designs, you know, for work or papers, or you can actually now open up your PDF files. In so for example, you have Word, you save it as a PDF, I can open it, and now I can add different graphics, I can add different graphs that are more cool. You know, that with an AI design, you know, or let's say you're trying to write a book and you're trying to add an AI, you have Adobe Firefly. Well, I don't think it's yet for commercial use, but you can use it for, you know, personal projects or things that you're showing. So the fact that you can open up your PDFs now and use it with all the different AI tools that they have, like, that's a great option.
That's crazy. That's cool.
So definitely check out Adobe Express. And then another one with Perplexity AI, now they have, they're offering Code Llama on their servers. So I know we talk a lot about models and AI. So, I mean, there's another company, they're called, I think, Replicate. Like, they always, you know, you don't have to have a server. You don't have to have like a, you know, a PC. A lot of companies are now offering AI on the back end so that you don't even have to go in to a bunch of different, you know, companies and memberships. You can pay by the minute sometimes. You can say, hey, my budget is $15. I'm going to spend $15, you know, and then you can do what you have to do. And you don't say, hey, I don't have to sign up for a $20 a month membership. So
that's fair.
A lot of these sites, they're going to get more popular. I mean, I've said this months ago, people, like, that's what's going to happen. You know, paying by the minute. You're renting basically a server per minute. That's it is. Okay. Yeah. And then, of course, one of our last things that we're going to talk about this week, there were so many. I always have to cut out so many topics. But and by the way, before I even say this last one, I am going to start trying to do, you know, daily AI updates, trying to post more, because typically I'm always cutting out like, man, like 15 to 20 updates, you know, just to try to keep it, you know, at least within an hour, hour and a half. So I'm going to start trying to give more updates on a daily basis. I know Amber's going to do more of that on her channel as well. We'll tell you the channels in one moment. But then the last one, of course, that we have to talk about is with Hugging Face being valued at a magnificent $4.5 billion valuation. That is amazing. So some of their investors were Google, Amazon, Nvidia, Salesforce, AMD, Intel, IBM, the big players, right? So when we're talking about how quickly AI is able to build up businesses, they're going to revolutionize tech, AI tech, like, if you have an idea, it's the time, because companies are looking to invest in major projects. They're looking for the next big inventors. They're looking for creative minds. You don't need a degree. You need, you know, just hard work and grit and really get out there, teach yourself. You know, we've talked about all the different resources. There are lots of courses and lessons. And look, you can teach yourself. So this is a time to self-educate and to build something, because you never know. You could be the next big Hugging Face. You could be, you know, people looking, coming for you to invest in your companies and your projects. So what do you think about that?
Yeah. So right now, I was just going to jump in on this. So some folks don't know this, but I am a co-founder of a health tech company that takes AI and automation to bring better data capture to the field of neurology. I live with multiple sclerosis, so I'm really interested in how the brain works and how these different diseases happen. So our tool actually uses AI, mostly machine learning, but we'll just use AI as a general term that folks use around that to help you understand your brain health. So a lot of people do not realize that in the area of brain disorders, a lot of the tests that you go into, over 50% of them are observational. So if I go to see my neurologist, they're watching me, how I speak, how my face moves, how my hand moves. They're doing a lot of like literally looking at me and to see how we get there. People are often like, what do you mean we have MRIs and brain scans? But in this field, they still have to use observation even on top of brain scans just because of the way the field is built. So I'm not a AI professional. I'm an influencer in this space and I'm an enthusiast in this space, but that's not my background. My colleague is a more of a biotech person. And we came on board and we brought some other people on board, including an AI individual and someone with skill set to build a company. And back to what Marcy was just saying, like we're pitching all the time and we're getting a lot of traction. Like we have a few, we're in the semifinals for and finals for a few different pots of money because of that. Because people are very interested in very like really cool things. And we were able to figure out a really cool application for AI in the healthcare space, particularly around tracking how folks move and things like that in a different way than the current field does. So I am totally here for folks figuring out how to start companies. There are plenty of people that you can hire that are fractional. So I don't work, I have a full-time day job, but I do this fractionally where I'm the CEO of this company on a fractional basis, meaning a percentage of my time is used. So you can literally start companies and start to pitch to see if there are ideas out there that people want to invest in, because people are looking to invest in the next big AI company, no matter what it is. And even this company that Marcy's talking about, 4.x billion, that's a lot of money. Even OpenAI is like a value in the billions. They don't even barely have a product. I'm not trying to be funny, but they have a model, but they don't have they're not selling something to get to that valuation. So keep in mind that when you're thinking about, because we do talk about business, especially with Marcy's background, keep in mind that there are businesses to be made during this time period. I told y'all earlier, thousands of companies have literally created companies out of OpenAI's API. So even thinking about what you could create and just having an idea, people are getting funded off of ideas. So just a reminder, we don't even have our product finished yet. We finally got an MVP, but we were getting some funding with just the idea, pitching it to people, having a really good deck to put in front of folks. So I think that folks, everyone should be trying out stuff, seeing what works and seeing if they can get to that $4.5 billion valuation, because that's wild.
That's amazing. All right. So did you have any other topics that you wanted to discuss this week that kind of caught your eye?
No, the main thing was I was hoping we were going to talk about the tweaks that were being made to ChatGPT just because of that. So we hit on that. And in general, I just want folks to know that we're here. We're not going anywhere. Sorry, I was 2 days late again, but we'll be back on time next week. But no, seriously, follow our channels. Marcy's channel is Marcy Noel. The name is in the podcast. Also, you'll see her on her page on YouTube this week. We're trying to figure out this YouTube thing. We don't want to deal with any copyright issues. So each week we're swapping weeks until we figure that out. I think we'll figure it out by putting just sourcing at some point, but we need to figure that out. And then on my page, it'll be AI Decodes. Also the AI Decodes Assistant Podcast. So please make sure you follow us. We need you to subscribe. We need you to watch the videos. Feel free even just to watch for a few minutes or whatever. This video is going to be timestamped if you're on YouTube. So find the topic that you want to talk about. And if it's on your podcast, hey, take us on the road with you while you're working or on your way to work. And we're excited to be here. But yeah, look out for those more daily updates that'll be really quick and cute and short. And then every Friday, we'll still be doing these massive updates. We want to get it all out and actually have a little bit more of commentary, which I think y'all like. So we'll keep doing this and we're just excited. And I think there are going to be some cool things coming up in the world of AI this week. So I'm excited to be back with you all this Friday.
All right, guys. Well, it was nice to see you.
All right. See y'all soon. Peace.
That is a wrap for the AI Decodes the System podcast. I really hope you all enjoyed the conversation. If you like the content, please make sure to follow, download, subscribe to, and share the show. Make sure you show us that love so that we know you're getting value out of the content. Also, feel free to rate us and comment. We also have a Patreon link in the show notes. But I just want to thank you all so much and see you next time as we decode the system.